Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. We are thankful to have the opportunity to bring to you, after 30 years of broadcasting, the reassuring message of God's free and sovereign grace. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Pray as we go forward together this morning into God's Word. Please stay tuned for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. This is our first broadcast for the new year, of course, and it is a great privilege to have you tuning in. I trust that you'll pray for us and pray for the ministry of God's Word in the year ahead, especially given the need for spiritual truth in the times that we're living in today. As we shared last week on our broadcast, and our subject was to pray for gospel ministry, wherever they are, God's men who are seeking to promote truth. So pray for us. How you relate to others, how you interact with others, is, I think, the clearest representation of who you are as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ above anything else. I mean, we are all that each other have. How we interact with each other, other human beings on the face of this earth, is a function of our attitude toward the Savior. It really is. It's a measure of our level of appreciation for who He is and who we are ultimately. What do we really believe about our relationship with Him will be indicated by how we relate to others and interact with others in this world. It is the height of hypocrisy to say that you love the Son of God and that you're very thankful for what He did at Calvary in the giving of Himself on your behalf, and not to treat others with care and regard and kindness. Today we're going to look at heaping coals of fire upon the head of our enemies. I hope that's somewhat attention-getting. I've just told you, and I hope that the question's going through your mind, I've just told you that how you treat others round about you is, in my mind, really the ultimate measure. You can say all that you want to say about how spiritual you are, how much you love the Savior, but how you treat others is really the measure of where you're functioning as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I spoke about treating folks with kindness and with care and regard and gentleness. And then I said, today we're going to speak to you about heaping coals of fire upon the head of your enemies. So, how can our stated subject, heaping coals of fire on the head of our enemies, line up with the introductory thoughts? Well, stay tuned. How do you deal with your enemies? This is the first broadcast in the new year. It's that important. Ministers typically are very, very careful about the first things they have to say in the new year to God's people. This subject is that critical. It's that important to me. It's the first thing I want you to hear from the Gospel of Grace broadcast. How do you deal with your enemies? I mean, those people who oppose you, who injure you, who seek to harm you, who speak and do evil against you, your enemies. Those people who are really passionate about not liking you. despise what you stand for? How do you deal with them? How do you think of them? How do you treat them? How should we deal with our enemies? And if you have the Word of God with you, turn to the 12th chapter of the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Rome, and I'll show you what God says about this matter. Now, in the first 13 verses of this chapter, the Apostle Paul tells us how we're to deal with our brethren, God's people, His church, giving our bodies as a living sacrifice to God means that we're to devote lives, our lives, to the service of God's church, serving in every way that we can for the good of our brethren. But then, in verses 14 through 21, the apostle tells us that giving our bodies as a living sacrifice to Christ means to serve even our enemies in a very unusual way. You remember what Paul said in the first two verses? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the basis of everything that Paul has to say in this chapter. That you're to present your body because of the mercy of God to you. That you're to present your body a living sacrifice, just as the Jews of old brought their sacrifices to the temple and to the priest. Your sacrifice today is your body a living sacrifice, and you're to bring it to God. It's your reasonable service because of what God has done for you, based on the mercy of God. That's the basis of everything that Paul says in this chapter. Now, let's pick up in verse 14. In this part of the chapter, the Spirit of God teaches us, as much as possible, to treat our enemies as our brethren. After all, some of them are. Verse 14. And let me say this, you can't rationalize this away. You can't explain this away. It means what it says. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Our Savior fed the multitudes, healed the sick, attended their weddings, and when invited, even went to their dinner parties. Though he had nothing in common with them except humanity. He came to many who received him not. He fed multitudes who wanted nothing but what he gave them to eat. He healed many lepers who never thanked him. He wept over multitudes who would not weep for themselves. He prayed for those that crucified him. And he died for many of those who were his personal tormentors and murderers. And so I ask you the question, shall we do less? He died for me when I despised him. He prayed for me when I cursed him. He provided for me when I blasphemed him. He protected me when I had no regard for him. He redeemed me when I would not have him. He sought me when I refused to seek him. He called me when I was determined not to call upon him. Paul says in verse 15, rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. Now listen to me very carefully. Don't be a wet blanket on the joys of your enemies. If they have a cause for rejoicing, join in it. Help them to sing their songs of joy. And weep with them that weep. Sympathize with mourners. Take a share of their burden. Now, let me say this. If they're our enemy, I believe it's easier to weep with them that weep than it is to rejoice with them that rejoice. Because this old flesh of ours begins to envy those who rejoice. But it wouldn't so much object to maybe sympathizing with those that are sorrowful. But Paul says, do both things. Rejoice with your enemies that rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Isn't that amazing? Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, verse 16, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Whenever possible, when it's possible, get along with men of low estate, the basis. By that I mean be peaceable. Don't be argumentative. America is so full of argumentation today. Debate, debate, debate. That's one of the sins of the flesh. The servant of the Lord, Paul says, must not strive. I see no reason to argue with men constantly prating about like the talking heads on television, always arguing about politics and science and history. Wouldn't it be better to talk with them about how blessed you are? Relate to them how good the Lord has been to you, how He's forgiven you, how He saved you by His grace. To begin to count your blessings in front of those that would spitefully use you. Notice what Paul says here. Don't seek high things or high company. We are impressed by such petty things. It's amazing. I sit with brothers who discuss labels on clothing and vehicles, that models and makes of vehicles that are driven far easier than they talk about the goodness and the mercy of God. Don't seek high things. Don't be impressed with the titles of men. Condescend. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Make it your business to help and encourage and befriend those that others choose to ignore. When you're in crowds, don't gravitate toward the movers and shakers. Condescend to men and women of low estate. That's God's measure. Don't seek out the leaders of the crowd. Seek out those that are in need, individuals who can add nothing to you. Be not wise in your own conceits. Stop looking upon yourself as wise and meaningful above others, as the sharpest tool in the room, as righteous and good above others, as superior to others. Verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. What does that mean? Recompense to no man evil for evil. Never avenge yourself by word, by deed, or by influence. I'm telling you, your Heavenly Father has said that vengeance is His. It belongs to Him. He'll repay. God's going to take care of the matter of vengeance. Why get yourself in trouble with God when He's going to handle evildoers? Rather be studiously, be thoughtful in seeking to treat people right with care and gentleness and kindness, especially those who do you wrong. Again, as we're going to see, it's the measure of your view of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. People who become angry with others, who become petty, who love to grind axes, who love to demean and belittle and look down on others, have a very shallow and empty view of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for them. People who love to have other people bear the burden of all of their feelings and all of their emotions, and if they're feeling bad, they feel like everyone around them should have to feel how bad they're feeling. That's a measure of your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what he says in the 18th verse. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Do the best you can to get along with people, even when people are cranky and disagreeable, even wicked men and women who are cranky and disagreeable. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Leave wrath and judgment in the hands of him who dispenses it faithfully. Give place to wrath. What does that mean? Dig a channel for it to flow by you. Verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he is thirst, give him to drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Paul is not here doing away with everything that he's taught us and all that he teaches us about kindness and love and tenderness and generosity through his epistles. He's not telling us to be nice to people because that's going to make hell hotter for them, as if such a cruel desire would be commendable. It isn't. So what is the motive? What's Paul telling us? He's taking the words in Proverbs 25:20, where the wise man Solomon, who is an eminent type of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and teaches us how to live as wise men and women in godliness. Listen to this, Proverbs 25:21. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. Verse 22, for thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. That's a strange word of wisdom. Feed our enemies. Give water to those that hate us. Let me say this. This doctrine is not from below, but from above. This is not the way the world treats their enemies. This is the doctrine of Christ. This is the doctrine of God's grace, heaven's divine formula that transforms the child of God's most implacable enemies, believe it or not, into friends and into allies. It's not easy. I didn't say it was. It's going to take strength beyond your strength. But if you're a born-again child of God, you've got the strength. We can do all things through Christ. And this is the measure of your discipleship. It's not how orthodox ultimately you are in the doctrines of grace. I know lots of folks who are very orthodox, who believe grace completely, orthodoxly, and practice so little of it in the way they treat God's people. And that's a spiritual zero in the book of God. The coals of fire here are not coals of judgment that we're heaping on their head, but they're coals of grace, by which the hearts of our enemies are melted and won over. Our Savior preached this doctrine with great clarity in the Sermon on the Mount. In that notable message, he said, you've heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Let me say this. Nothing is more grueling to our flesh than the exercise of kindness and love toward those who hate us. And if we would honor our Savior and subdue our enemies, we must not resort to the sinful practice of revenge. We must conquer the hearts of our enemies the same way that Christ has conquered our hateful hearts, by relentlessly having the coals of God's grace placed upon our heads. The apostle knew all about those coals of grace. He says, bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Recompense to no man evil for evil. A mighty king can use an angry force to subjugate his enemies. That's a fact. A mighty and powerful ruler can dominate his enemies by angry force. But let me say this, though his enemies are successfully subdued by angry force, they will never love the king and serve the king willingly with happy hearts. Willing service, commitment from the heart, and loyalty can only be enforced by grace and mercy and love. If you want commitment from folks, serve them and love them. Minister to them, whether they're your friends or your enemies. The Lord Jesus does not bring us to himself with threats. He wins us by his free grace. He turns bitter enemies into beloved friends by his grace. He turns hard-hearted adversaries into faithful disciples by grace. He causes rebels to stack their rifles and to beat their swords and their shields into plowshares and pruning hooks, not with brute angry force, but with tender, irresistible love and grace, which is more powerful than all the armies that have ever marched. Jeremiah said, "The Lord of old hath appeared unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with love and kindness have I drawn thee." Why should we think that it would be any different with us today? And that's what Paul tells us to do to our enemies. Heap upon them coals of heart-melting fire, mercy, love, grace, kindness, tenderness, and love. How long have you been carrying grudges in your heart? How long have they burdened you as you've hated? And no doubt you've been wrong grievously and horribly. The only person you're punishing is yourself. Oh, my friends, treat them kindly when you have the opportunity. I'm not saying that you should condone wrong. Not for a minute. You've never heard me say that. But I'm saying that you don't repay evil with evil. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's scriptural. Verse 21. Don't overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome the evil with attitudes and actions of goodness and mercy that you've experienced from God. Maybe God will use your example of grace and mercy to move them to places that they've never been before in their life and to see that it's possible. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. For what is our hope? or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? That's 2 Corinthians 2:19. Paul said, whenever I look at you, I see you as you're going to be in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. Listen, my friends, the people that you're angry with, the people that you're being ugly to, they could be God's people. And you need to look at them in the way God looks at them, and the way God looks at you, through the shed blood and the imputed righteousness of the Son of God. You say, well, I know that this person is not God's child. I know he's not born again. I know she's not born again. But they may be someday. And then they'll remember. Remember the Apostle Peter told faithful women in 1 Peter 3 who were married to ungodly men. He told wives that are married to pagans, unbelieving men. He said to walk before them chaste, discreetly, kindly, and gently, so that they might be won by your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, in the day of visitation. Peter saying, listen, wives, God may visit your ungodly husband one day in the power of regeneration, the new birth. And if he does, and you've been kind toward him, and you've been peaceable and gentle and served him, even in the days of his unkindness, he won't have to go far to learn more about the Lord. He will have seen it lived out in front of him. And he'll seek to know your God, the God of the Bible. God help us all to serve the Savior by serving his people and even being willing to serve our enemies. That's the measure of our love for the Savior in the new year. May the Lord bless you and keep you.
As we bid you farewell today, please remember to tune in next week to this channel at the same time for the Gospel of Grace broadcast. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Please pray for us. And until next week, may the Lord richly bless you all is our prayer.